Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good morning, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining in with me on our morning broadcast. It's great to come to you at or around 9 a.m. each morning and 9 p.m. each night. Unless I'm on a plane or giving a talk somewhere, I want to come and update you on various aspects of our battle to restore protection to the children in the womb. That's our cause. That's our movement. And as I've always been saying, we need to speak more specifically about that and help people focus in on it. Instead of just saying we're doing pro-life work, instead of just saying we're promoting the sanctity of life or building a culture of life, these are all true and it's beautiful language. But let's be very clear. We're trying to restore protection to the children in the womb, protecting them from the violence of abortion. And that violence of abortion is becoming more and more evident to people all across our country as the pro-abortion movement rips off its mask, or partially rips off its mask, I should say, and openly admits that they're pushing for abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. That actually already is the federal policy, but various states are making it more explicit in their state law, and it has people absolutely outraged. I'm going to talk to you about an aspect of this morning. I'm going to play you a clip of someone from Planned Parenthood, and then you're going to hear the words of people in an abortion clinic actually contradicting what the Planned Parenthood person says. But before we get to all that, which I will explain, let's take a moment of prayer. We take it from my book, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. And if you don't have your own copy, prolifereflectionsforeveryday.com is where you can get one. I hope you do. I'll sign it and personalize it for you. So for today, from Romans 7:15, we read, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, and I do what I hate. Reflection. Abortion advocates say we should trust women to make their own decisions. Are we then to simply trust that people won't lie or cheat or run red lights or rob a local store? At times, people do not respect the rights of others, and that is why laws exist. Let us pray. Lord, with St. Paul, I acknowledge that I am inclined to sin despite my best intentions. Help us all as we struggle against evil. Amen. Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for all the birthday wishes. Today is my birthday, February the 4th, and I know that so many of you are praying for me and for my work. I am praying likewise for you. And at the end of today's broadcast, I want to make a special birthday commitment, renew, actually, in your presence, however, renew the commitment that you know I have already made, but it's very important for me to be able to renew that publicly because I want you to hold me accountable to it. And what I'm talking about, of course, is my full-time focus on ending child killing by abortion. So thank you for the birthday wishes and prayers. I know they'll be coming in all day. And I want you to know that for everybody who wishes me a happy birthday, and even if you don't have a chance to do so, I am praying for you very intensely each and every day, in fact, multiple times a day. Now, let's get on to the topic at hand. Okay, so we know that in New York State, this absolutely astonishingly arrogant, out of control, extreme law was signed by Governor Andrew Cuomo that permits abortion up until the very day of birth and even removes protection from babies born alive after an abortion. And it has been likewise discussed in states like Virginia and Rhode Island and New Mexico and in various other places. I'm sure we'll see it arise as well. And brothers and sisters, again, this is Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade said that abortion could be performed throughout the entirety of the pregnancy. And then it said a state may, if it wishes, restrict abortion in the seventh, eighth, and ninth month. but may if it wishes. It doesn't have to. But it may not if the abortion is needed for the mother's health. And health is defined to include all factors: emotional, psychological, the woman's age, the woman's family. So in effect, it's the exception that swallows the rule, which is why we have always said for decades now, the policy of our nation is abortion on demand throughout pregnancy. At what point in time have the American people ever bought in to that policy? Have the American people ever voted on or expressed approval, even in an opinion poll, for a policy like that? And the answer is never. They never have, and they never will. Now, brothers and sisters, what does the other side do and say? Well, I'm going to play you a clip of a Planned Parenthood executive who was on Fox News just the other day, and she spews this old, tired, worn-out argument, which is a deception, that the other side keeps using. They want people to think that when it comes to late-term abortion, the only reasons why a baby would ever be aborted at those stages, or that a mother would ever want an abortion, is because there's some kind of profoundly sad and tragic, difficult and complicated medical problem with the baby or complication of pregnancy for the mother. Now, are there medical complications for the baby and the mother? Of course. We all know situations like that, and they are sad and tragic. But is that the only reason why late-term abortions are performed? Or more to the point, is that the only reason for which the law allows late-term abortions to be performed? And the answer to both of those questions is no. Health of the mother, health of the baby are not the only reasons why late-term abortions are performed. And health of the mother and health of the baby are not the only conditions under which the law allows them to be performed. Let's hear now this short clip from what the Planned Parenthood political communications director said recently. And then right after that, what you are going to hear are two excerpts from two phone calls that we ourselves commissioned through Abortion Free New Mexico. We commissioned phone calls at the end of 2017 into various legal abortion clinics around the country. The first you'll hear was in New Mexico, one of the states where they don't have restrictions anyway, but they want to make it more explicit in the law. You'll hear a call into New Mexico, and the caller said she was 30 weeks pregnant. 30 weeks pregnant. And they scheduled an abortion for her. She said she was healthy and that the baby was healthy. Then you listen to the second call made into an abortion facility in Boulder, Colorado. Same thing. And they scheduled an abortion and then said, well, when you come in here, you'll be 32 weeks. And you'll hear what she said to them about the reason for the abortion. It was not that the baby was malformed. It was not that she was going to die unless she had the abortion. It was that she broke up with her husband and didn't want the child. Listen to these calls and notice how it contrasts with the way that the Planned Parenthood director is trying to deceive us. Let's listen.
So I want to be really clear. I think even Governor Northam has clarified that in that conversation, he wasn't talking about abortion. He was talking about circumstances where a woman may have a wanted pregnancy and then finds out later in the pregnancy that it won't be viable, it won't survive the womb. And in fact, when we look at when late-term abortions happen, you know, the vast majority of abortions in this country actually happen quite early in pregnancy. But if they do happen later, it is almost exclusively because a woman's health is at risk, a woman's life is at risk, or because her pregnancy won't actually be viable.
Southwestern Women's Options, this is Georgia. How can I help you today?
Yes, I need to schedule an abortion.
Okay, do you know the first day of your last normal period?
Yeah, it was back in October 8th of 2016.
October 8th. And have you had an ultrasound done?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And have you had any, is this your first pregnancy?
No, it's not.
any C-sections in your past?
No.
Okay. And where are you calling from?
I live in Farmington.
In Farmington. Okay. So let me go ahead and get you to a scheduler. What is your first name?
Denise.
Denise. Okay, hold on one moment, Denise.
Okay.
Outpatient Abortion Services and the first clinic to use IV sedation. Today, Dr. Boyd and his medical staff remain personally committed to providing medically safe and emotionally supportive care, including pre-pregnancy testing, confidential individual counseling, medical abortions, and surgical abortions in all trimesters. We also offer the morning after prescription and IUD insertion for eligible patients at post-operative checkup. Thank you for...
This is Susan. How may I help you?
Yes, I wanted to schedule an abortion appointment. I just gave Georgia my information. I'm going to be coming down from Farmington.
Okay. Can you tell me, do you have a BPD measurement or a due date?
I have the due date is July 15th.
Okay, so, yeah, almost 30. Is there anything wrong with the fetus?
No, there's not. It's more just life happening. My husband lost his job. We already have some kids, and we're planning to continue the pregnancy. But now, with our world falling apart, we just felt like this was the best way out.
I would need to take some information and take this to the doctor to see if she would accept you as a patient.
Okay.
Hold on a moment. Okay, let's see. What is your name?
Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Chavez.
Date of birth?
8/2/91.
All right. And how old are you right now?
26.
Have you ever had a C-section?
No.
And you have how many living children?
Two.
How many times total have you been pregnant?
Two.
Three with this one?
Yeah.
Have you had any previous abortions or miscarriages?
No.
Okay. How old is your youngest child?
Two.
Do you yourself have anything going on medically, like asthma, diabetes, high blood pressure?
No.
Okay. How tall are you?
5'1".
How much do you weigh?
150.
Okay. Do you have any allergies to any medications?
No.
Are you currently taking any medications for any reason?
No.
Have you ever had any surgery in your past?
No.
Do you smoke?
No.
How do you describe your alcohol consumption, if any?
None.
Okay. Do you use any recreational drugs?
No.
Okay. Have you been getting prenatal care for this pregnancy?
Yes.
Okay. When is the last time you went to the doctor?
It was about a month ago.
Do you have commercial insurance or New Mexico Medicaid?
Yeah, it's New Mexico Medicaid.
New Mexico Medicaid. Okay. Okay. So this was originally a wanted pregnancy?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what's happened in your life now. I know you said that your husband just lost his job.
Yeah, he lost his job. And so, you know, that really, we're already struggling to make it as it is. And so, you just, obviously that puts a strain on the marriage and everything else, and now with the prospect of another child coming along, it's just really weighing heavily on us and adding unneeded stress. So we kind of asked around, and people just recommended maybe calling you guys as a means to help with the situation. Certainly not something that we were planning for, but, you know, life happens.
So I think that's all I need right now. She's here, so I'm going to take this to her. Okay. So let me tell you also a little bit about the procedure that we do here. This will require you to be in Albuquerque from a Monday night through a Friday evening. It's a procedure of termination by induction. So we actually would start on Tuesday morning. We will take a day or two to soften and dilate the cervix, and then we will induce labor. So you will be going through the act of labor and delivery of a stillborn fetus. We will euthanize the fetus on the first day. And again, you need to be in Albuquerque during that time. Well, the doctor accepted you as a patient. We'll be scheduling you for Tuesday next week. So we'll be starting on the 9th. And
the Medicaid that I have covers all of it?
Do you have Medicaid? You can go for any reason at all? Any kind of medical attention, or is it limited to family planning, or do you know?
I think it's for anything.
Okay. Let's check it real quick, okay?
Good morning, Dr. Hearn's office. How can I help you?
Yes, I wanted to schedule an abortion appointment.
Okay. Do you know how far along you are in your pregnancy?
Just around 30 weeks.
And when did you find out you were pregnant?
Well, I found out a couple of months into the pregnancy, so I've known about it for a while, and I've been going to the appointments and everything, but my husband and I just split up, and I just don't want to continue with the pregnancy now, so I have, like, the estimated due date from the doctor and everything, and I have my last menstrual period date, too.
Okay.
If you need that.
Okay. Okay. Have you had an ultrasound?
Yes.
Okay, we just need the measurements from your ultrasound, like the BPD and the femur length measurement.
Okay, let me see. Do I need to call you back with those measurements, or?
Yeah, if you could call us back with those measurements, we can let you know if we can see you, when the next available appointment is, and what the fee will be.
Okay, so the BPD, and what else was it?
The femur length. It's abbreviated F as in Frank, L as in Larry.
And it should just be right on the ultrasound that was printed out?
Yeah, hopefully. You may have to call your doctor's office and get it from them.
And what does the BPD stand for?
Biparietal diameter.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me see what I can find out. I'll call you back.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good morning, Dr. Hearn's office. How can I help you?
Sure. I called earlier and you asked me to get, I was calling to schedule an appointment, you asked me to get the BPD and the femur length.
Okay, do you have that?
Yes, I was able to get that. So the BPD was 74 and the femur length was 54.
Okay, and when were those taken?
Last Monday the 13th, I believe.
Okay. And, let's see here. How much do you weigh?
I'm 180.
Okay, and how tall are you?
5'1".
Okay, and have you ever had a C-section?
No.
No? Okay, can you hold on 1 second?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he said that he would see you on the 28th.
Okay.
And it looks like you'll probably be about 32 weeks at that time. So the fee would likely be either $17,500 or $25,000.
Okay. And so I live in Texas, actually, in Austin. I'm guessing I would just fly in to the clinic and then... How long is it?
Yeah, so your first appointment would be on Tuesday the 28th.
Okay.
So you would need to fly to Denver. He does require that you travel the day before your appointment. So he would want you to travel on Monday the 27th. You would have an appointment here Tuesday morning, and then it's a 4-day process. So you would be here in Colorado, staying at a local hotel on that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, and you could travel back to Texas in the afternoon of Saturday, the 2nd of December.
Okay. Okay.
Well, so I want to be really clear. I think even Governor Northam has clarified that in that conversation, he wasn't talking about abortion. He was talking about circumstances where a woman may have a wanted pregnancy and then finds out later in life, in the pregnancy, that it won't be viable, it won't survive the womb. And in fact, when we look at when late-term abortions happen, you know, the vast majority of abortions in this country actually happen quite early in pregnancy. But if they do happen later, it is almost exclusively because a woman's health is at risk, a woman's life is at risk, or because her pregnancy won't actually be viable.
Well, brothers and sisters, healthy baby carried by a healthy mother, you just heard our caller successfully book an appointment for an abortion of such a healthy baby, of a healthy mother, at 30 weeks of pregnancy, that was in New Mexico, and 32 weeks of pregnancy, that was in Boulder, Colorado. These procedures are happening daily throughout the country. And the Planned Parenthood representative that you saw there tries to deceive the public into thinking that these are only for medical conditions. Medical conditions of the baby, terrible, tragic, sad, awful deformities, the brain outside the head or no brain at all, or the organs outside the body. Not that organs outside the body can't be repaired, they can. But these people are making the public think that, oh, well, it's only in medical emergencies that these abortions are done. Or it's only medical emergencies for the mother that these pregnancies have to be ended. Not true. Again, sure, there are medical emergencies, both for baby and for mother. But you just heard two phone calls, and if you go to the website that we have set up, exposeabortion.net, you can hear a bunch more phone calls and read the transcripts that we made into other states. Some of them have a limit of 28 weeks, so we had her ask for an abortion at that stage, and they said yes, even though she was healthy and the baby was healthy. Some states end at 26 weeks. We had her ask for an appointment at that age. Healthy baby, healthy mother, they said yes. Some end at 24 weeks. We had her ask for an appointment then. Healthy baby, healthy mother, they said yes. Over and over and over, state after state, clear across this country, abortion clinic after abortion clinic, healthy baby, healthy mother, late-term abortion, they said yes. And not only does Planned Parenthood want us to think, oh, this only happens in medical complications, but the politicians want us to think that too, the liars that they are. Oh, well, this is, and they'll bring up these sob stories. Now, I'm not minimizing at all the difficulty of those who do have complications in pregnancy. We help them all the time. But you see, the fact is it's never necessary to kill the baby in order to help them. But we're talking about healthy moms carrying healthy babies, and these abortions are happening. Now, all the abortionists that we have dealt with admit that the late-term abortions they do are elective, maybe about 20% of them, they tell us, are for health reasons. The other 80% of the late-term procedures are elective. It's because of the choice of the mother. Or because, as our caller said, well, you know, my husband lost his job, or in another case, oh, well, we broke up. We just feel that we can't have another child right now. So number one, they are happening for social reasons, unhealthy mothers carrying healthy babies. Number two, no matter how much of each circumstance is actually happening, the question that we have to demand that the politicians and the abortion providers be honest about is, what does the law actually say? If someone is going to come along and try to defend this by saying, oh, well, it's only the medical complications that make this necessary, oh, well, then is that what the law says? The fact of the matter is that the law allows it for far more reasons than that. Brothers and sisters, we have to stop playing games here, and we have to stop letting others play games here. Many of your comments are saying how infuriating this is and how angry you are and how sad as a result. That's right. That's the normal, healthy response to this. And the normal, healthy response to this is to stop what we're doing, stand up, and start doing something to fight abortion. And we want to help you do that. We want to partner with you. The reason we're coming with these broadcasts is not just to give you the information during the broadcast, but to invite you to join hands with us, join hearts with us, join prayer and action with us, join resources with us, and let's get the job done of protecting these babies from the violence of abortion. You can get our action alerts. I'm just sending out an action alert over the next few hours, asking you to call your U.S. senators. Go to stopabortionnow.org. You'll see it'll be posted there momentarily. Stopabortionnow.org. You can make two calls today to your United States senator. This is one of the first things you can do. We have all kinds of things that we want you to do, and I'm going to tell you more about that in a second. But if you go to stopabortionnow.org, sign up for the action alerts, because in the United States Senate today, a measure is being introduced to protect babies who are born alive after a failed abortion, because as I say, not even they are being protected. And these abortionists who are paid to kill these babies don't care about protecting them if they survive the abortion. We have to get our senators on record. Now, we have enough votes in the Senate to pass this measure. We'll see how the Democrat pro-abortion controlled House of Representatives deals with this, because most of the Democrats that were, all of the Democrats in the previous Congress, and then the majority of them were reelected to this Congress, and they all voted, with less than a handful of exceptions, against a bill that would protect these babies even if they're born alive. This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Anthony is saying, you called everyone, it goes to voicemail and no one calls back. That's okay. What counts is that you called and you left that message, because I can guarantee you those messages are listened to on the other end. They may not call you back, but those messages are registered. So don't let that deter you at all. Some of you are mentioning the Gosnell case, the movie Gosnell. See the movie Gosnell. Look it up. It's available now online. Gosnell, I helped in the creators of that to do their work. They consulted with me and other pro-life leaders at various times. I was there in the courtroom during the Gosnell trial. And unfortunately, Gosnell, as we said over these recent years, is not the exception. He's the norm. And he's in prison now for actually having killed babies too late, but it was practically by accident that he ended up getting in trouble for that. This is going on, and the abortionists are literally getting away with murder every day all across the country. And this is what I want to lead to my final point and tie it back in again to the fact that today is my birthday. You know, I'm all in. Some of you are leaving comments saying exactly that. It's one of my favorite comments that you leave for me. You say, all in. We are all in. You know, there come certain issues in life. There come certain moments in our existence here on this earth where everything converges to one point, and we realize that it's a moment that is not normal. A lot of things, as we go through our days and as we go through our years, you know, there are choices and decisions that we make that are not very consequential. Which restaurant am I going to go to, or what am I going to have for lunch, or should I take my walk here or there or later or now? And you know, a lot of the decisions, I mean, every decision matters on some level, but most decisions, we're just trying to get through the day, right, and just get our work done and take care of the people that we're responsible for. But there are certain moments in life. There are certain issues that arise. There are certain problems we encounter where we realize that the whole meaning of our life is concentrated in that one decision or in that one moment or defined by that one issue, and that the decision we take of how we're going to respond to that one particular problem defines who we are for the rest of our life. Those are few and far between. Those are very, very rare moments in our existence, but we all have those moments. And we come to a point and there's a fork in the road and we make a decision and we take a stand and we stand up and we say, I will be counted. I'm all in. We're going to respond to this with every ounce of strength that I have, all my energy. And when you think about it, this is what consecration means, right? It's like when we consecrate ourselves to God, we all belong to Him by our baptism. And we say, well, I'm in this all 100%, and this defines who I am. If I fail to respond to this, I cannot be true to myself. I betray my very self. Alveda King, who will be here at our headquarters this week, you'll see her here on our Facebook broadcasts, and I know we're on various other platforms coming to you right now as well. But Alveda King works with us full time here at Priests for Life. Martin Luther King Jr. was her uncle. Her dad was his brother. And she says the civil rights movement of today is the pro-life movement. She's all in for the unborn. And her uncle, Martin, acknowledged as the voice and leader of the civil rights movement and martyred for that cause, he was ministering in a church. He was preaching the gospel. And there came a point in his life where he said, this evil of segregation, how we respond to this is going to define us. It's going to define our generation. It's going to echo throughout the corridors of history for centuries to come. And he was right. And he felt a calling on his life. And he decided, though he was a minister of the gospel, father of a family, he said, I'm giving all my energy to fight this segregation. He had said to his mom, I'm going to hit this hard, he said. And that's what defined his life. And brothers and sisters, many of us, I know I speak for myself, and I want to make this commitment right here, right now, publicly again, as I've done in the past, and as I know so many of you have done, and I thank you for that, because you inspire me. We are all in to end abortion. I am giving every moment of my life, every ounce of energy and strength that I have, all my ministry, everything I do, everything I say, all my resources, it is all focused in on one thing. This evil that we are seeing before our eyes, hearing with our very ears, this demands a total response. And if we have the means to do so, because everyone is in a different situation, but my friends, I'm telling you, if we have the means to do so, we need to respond to this with all our mind and heart and soul and strength. So I want to renew before you today, here on this, my birthday, that as God has given me life, I am giving every moment of my life for these children, the children in the womb. And let me tell you something, there is no turning back. There are some people who don't understand this kind of commitment. Well, God bless them. They have to follow what God, it makes them understand He wants them to do. And there are some who even will say to you and to me as we're fighting abortion, oh, well, you are wasting your time. No, we are not. This is what defines us. If we can't respond to this and stand up for these babies, we betray the very purpose of our existence. And for those who say, oh, well, you know, there are other more important things, there are other things you should be doing, no, you're wrong. And we're not going to be doing other things, and we're not going to be sidetracked or distracted or diluted in our focus. It's not going to happen. No way, no how. We are all in. And so I want to thank you for your commitment. Those of you who are doing everything you can and you know what your limits are, God bless you for doing it. And those who can do more, I want to make an appeal here that I made right after 9/11, back in 2001. Just a matter of a couple of weeks after our nation was shocked into a new level of sadness and of horror and of anger when we saw the attacks that were launched against our nation on September 11th, 2001, I stood at the pulpit at EWTN and I said something, and I want to say it again right now, in the light of all of these things that have been happening with late-term abortion and these infanticide bills that are being introduced. What I said to the watchers and listeners of EWTN that day was this. This is the time to rise up and to devote ourselves full-time to protecting the right to life, to protecting innocent life, to protecting the children in the womb. I said, just as our nation is horrified by the blatant disregard for human life that is expressed by the terrorists, so we must be horrified by the blatant disrespect for human life that is displayed by the abortionists. And we need to rise up and we need to protect these children just like we need to protect all our fellow citizens. And brothers and sisters, hundreds of people contacted me and said, I am available now. In fact, I had people contacting me because I said this in the homily. If you are able, leave your profession, leave your career, leave what you are doing, set it aside. Because now we need all energy focused on bringing an end to this Holocaust. And we understand everyone has his or her own commitments and vocation. But brothers and sisters, I had hundreds of people come to me and say, I'm all in. I am stepping away from everything I'm doing. It's not as important. It's not anywhere near as important as ending a Holocaust that's right before our very eyes. Now is the moment. God has put us here for a reason. My friends, if you feel that stirring, if you feel that call, I want to hear from you. I want you to contact me. I want you to call us at Priests for Life. Here's our number. It's very easy to remember. 321-500-1000. I want to hear from you. Hi, I'm Jane Smith from St. Louis, and I am ready. I want to give myself. Show me what I can do. How can I help to bring an end to this Holocaust? 321-500-1000. Let me hear from you. Our staff will help you to get involved in this great movement. And if you can devote yourself to it on a full-time basis, at least do a little bit more, depending on your means. We'll help you do that too. I'm grateful for the commitment of each and every one of you, no matter how much or how little you can do. It's the spirit. It's the same spirit that is motivating us all. So on today, I recommit to you. Nothing will deter me from this. You know, one of the things I love hearing from people as I travel around the road and as I broadcast, it's a simple phrase, and so many of you say it to me in your comments or when we meet in person or when you email us. What do you say? Keep up the good work. And I promise you today, the answer to that is yes, I will. I will keep up the work. So will our entire team at Priests for Life. Nothing is going to deter us. Nothing is going to distract us. Nothing is going to dilute this focus. We are in this until these babies are protected again and until this abortion ends. We're not here just to fight it. We're not just here to speak against it. We're not just here to reduce the numbers of abortions. We are here to end abortion. Are you all in? Let me hear from you. Thank you, friends. May the Lord bless you now. May He protect you, and may He grant all your intentions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. I look forward to hearing from you. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.